Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight. And we're few in number here at the church, but very thankful for everybody online. And know that the Lord is here. The Lord, oh my, knows how to meet our needs here tonight. We have so much to thank Him for. And I want to thank God for helping me today. I know I turned kind of funny at one moment and a really funny pain and kind of on my lower back area, and it was rather uncomfortable when I twisted or turned a little some one way or the other, and I thought I better call somebody and have them pray. And ended up talking to Jane, and praise the Lord, she stopped over and she prayed, and you know what? The Lord took it away. So that's our God. We serve a wonderful God. And, I have seen Him do wonderful things. I know I had a conversation today with a good friend in Texas. Her name is Judy. And, a year ago or so, she fought cancer. And God miraculously, amazingly took it away. And she has recovered. And I'll tell you what, I'm working with another individual. I believe he's in Colorado right now, and he's been fighting cancer, but I'll tell you what, he sounds like he's getting better to me from what his parents have told me and what, he writes in his email. And I'll tell you what, we serve an amazing, mighty God who can do wonderful things if we can just reach out and touch Him and claim His promises and stand on them. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. We're going to pray right now, and I'm going to just also didn't have opportunity to talk to Sam before service concerning this, but talked with a woman just a couple days ago, and she's got a granddaughter, just a little one that was born Thanksgiving Day, and she needs a little girl. Her name is Layla, and she needs a miracle, really. She's scheduled for surgery tomorrow. They plan to cut her jaw and put a rod in her mouth so that they can stretch it so she can eat and so she can breathe better. And it's quite serious. But I want us to bring Layla before the Lord. And then, there's another Sophia. She's my granddaughter, and she's been sick. I prayed with her the other night, too, and if we could pray that God would completely heal her and take it away, this tonsillitis or whatever she has that she's fighting. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God, that we can come before You, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank You for Your word that You've opened up to us. We thank You for Your precious promises, Lord. Oh, God, that we can stand on them, Lord, that we know that Thou art the great physician, Lord. We know that Thou art the healer, Lord. Oh, God, we know that we can come to You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Oh, God, You give us strength to stand, Lord. Oh, God, You give us faith, oh, God, to walk with You, Lord. And, oh, God, to abide in Thy presence, abide in Thy promises. I pray, oh Lord, that You would touch, Lord. And oh God, we're believing that You're going to touch this little girl, Lord, this infant, Lord, this little Layla, Lord. I pray that You would touch this child, oh Lord, oh God, that, oh God, her mouth would move properly and open properly, God, oh Lord, that You correct, oh Lord, the problem, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity for You to work. And I pray, oh God, that You would move in a mighty way, Lord. If it goes to the physicians, I pray that You would give them wisdom, Lord, that they would, oh God, know what to do, Lord, and oh God, that, oh Lord, this little girl would recover. Oh Lord, You know all things. I pray that You'd help this child in the name of Jesus, oh God, so that she could eat, oh Lord, and so that she could breathe normally, Lord. Oh God, and so that, oh Lord, she can sing Your praises, oh Lord, and grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Pray that You'd help her. I pray, oh God, that You'd help Sophia, my granddaughter, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You touch her, to heal her, Lord. Oh God, that You move in her life, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that she'd come to know Thee as Lord and Savior, Lord. And oh God, we're bringing her before You right now, asking, Lord, that You'd heal that infection, Lord. Oh God, that tonsillitis or whatever it is, Lord, that's been bothering her, Lord. Pray that she fully recover, oh Lord, and that she'd help your people. You know all the particulars. You know all the needs that have not been mentioned. And I pray, oh God, that you'd move here tonight. I pray, oh God, that, oh God, your fire would fall upon us, Lord. And oh God, that we would feel thy touch. Oh God, that you would touch us, Lord. For you know every need. Oh God, every particular need, oh Lord Jesus. And we bring it before thee. In the name of Jesus, believe in you, Lord. Lord, and standing on thy word, standing on thy promises, pray that you'd help this word to go forth, Lord. Oh God, with the boldness that you would have it to come forth with, Lord, to use it, Lord. Oh God, that it would not return void, but that you would use it, God, for thy name's sake, for thy people's sake, Lord, for encouragement, oh Lord, and for strengthening, oh Lord Jesus, for growth, oh Lord Jesus, that, oh God, you might use it, oh God, for the edification of your people, oh Lord, and to bring those in that need to come to you. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the devil be bound in all his cunningness. Oh, Lord, oh, God, that there be, oh, God, no negatives. Oh, Lord, that would enter into discourage. But we bring this before thee in the name of Jesus. And we thank thee, Lord, thou mighty one. Oh, God, thou precious one who has redeemed us and set us free. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Okay, praise our Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. We've been in Psalms 89, and I didn't get to quite finish up the last week, and there's some points that I want to verify, too, and make sure that they are understood. I feel like there's some important issues here. We live in a world where so much of the truth has been trampled. And I know just recently I was really it was rather disheartening in a way to get this one letter and an individual, actually it wasn't somebody I knew, but you know, they were referring to the Jewish people and saying that the old covenant, the first covenant, was that they were still under it. That, you know, the new covenant didn't, I mean them. I don't know. I just think this is so strange. But, you know, they were still under the old covenant. And there's all kinds of various reasoning and thinking in this world that we live in today. But, oh my, we have so much to rejoice about because our sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, because he did bring forth a new covenant in his blood. Praise the Lord, and it sets us free. Oh yes, we are glad that the Lord lifted us up out of sin, out of the miry clay, all of those things. You know, he has given us a freedom in him. He has redeemed us. You know, he has established us in his word. And we have so much to thank him for. And oh, I thank God that he has given us his word, that, you know, it's before us. And we can open up the pages and, oh yes, be edified by the wonderful word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So turning again to Psalms 89, speaking of God's mercy and faithfulness and that which he has brought forth, that promise that he made, that sure promise that he made to David, the sure mercies of David that he utterly established and came forth. And it was so. Praise the Lord. But here as we turn to Psalms 89, I just want to go over just a little bit of the end of where I ended last week. It says in verse 35, "Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as a sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. And of course, you know, if you don't completely understand this, you know, it could be a confusing passage. But we know, as we did turn to Galatians, that third chapter last week, we know that that seed that was promised as an everlasting covenant unto David came forth by Jesus Christ. And you know that third chapter of Galatians certainly brings that aspect out. That point is very proven in the third chapter of Galatians. And just going over a few verses here in Galatians 3, verse 13, it says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And then verse 15 says, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto." And it says in verse 16, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is in Christ." So praise the Lord, it wasn't that there were two covenants, one for one specific people and another one for another group of people, but here that promise, and initially it was made to Abraham. And in him all nations of the world were going to be blessed. It was made clear when God gave that promise to Abraham. And then it came down the line and God confirmed it again to David. But here it tells us very clearly, yes, it is not seeds as of many. There's not an S on that word in those promises that are declared. But it's as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And yes, Jesus Christ was born of the lineage of David. God kept that line open because he knew that a Savior would come forth from that seed. And praise the Lord, that seed would be Jesus Christ. And you know, it had seemed that Jesus was cut off from the land of the living when they crucified him on a cross. At least that was the thought initially when he was on that tree hanging there. But praise the Lord, there was something so wonderful that happened there as he gave up the ghost on that tree. What was Jesus Christ doing? It tells us so clearly in Isaiah 53 that he was making his soul an offering for sin. And there, as he hung on that cross, he could see his seed. Even though, yes, he did not have children, he did not leave an offspring when he walked this earth, but yet there was a spiritual seed that he was going to bring forth. It would be a people that he would redeem, a people that he was redeeming with his blood. Oh, yes, a people that he could see that would enter into his everlasting covenant. And praise the Lord, if we have given our lives over to the Lord, if we have been called, if we are called and chosen and faithful, praise the Lord, that makes us that seed. And that's what he saw on the cross. He could see his seed, it tells us in Isaiah 53, verse 10. And he said, "He shall prolong his days." Oh, yes, there would be a people that would rise up who would continue the work that Jesus Christ began. He said, "Greater works than these shall you do because I go unto the Father." Praise the Lord. You know, he knew that he could not continue here on earth. But praise the Lord, he was going to send back his Spirit. He was going to put his ghost in his people. Oh yes, his seed. Oh yes, would be filled with the Holy Ghost. so they could go forth and continue that work that Jesus Christ began. And, oh, praise the Lord, it tells us, yes. Isaiah 53, verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And it tells us in verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, as he hung on the cross, he could see his children. He could see those that would follow after him. Oh, that would be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Those that he would redeem, he could see of the travail of his soul as he was there travailing. He was also making a way that all his children could be brought forth. And praise the Lord, it satisfied him. It tells us this knowledge satisfied him because he knew that atonement, that which he was doing would justify many, for he was bearing their iniquities. Praise the Lord. Verse 12 says here, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Well, that's what our Lord and Savior did there on the cross. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, yes, it tells us in Psalms chapter 89, verse 36 again, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. But then the next little portion, and we did go over this last week, but I'm just going to, you know, repeat it slightly here right now. It's talking to those to whom the first covenant pertained. It says, but thou hast cast off and abhorred, thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease and cast his throne down to the ground. Of course, oh my, there were many examples of how this all came to be. When, oh yes, they went after the ways of the heathen. Oh yes, when they embraced those ways, those traditions, oh, and lived in them and denied the Lord in their living. Oh, yes, they were making his glory to cease and casting his throne down to the ground. Of course, the ultimate there was, as Jesus was there in Pilate's judgment hall, and Andy, there they were, oh, yes, crying out, crucify him, crucify him, away with him, away with him. And then uttering such words as, we have no king but Caesar. Oh, I'll tell you what, they denied the Lord. They rejected him. Jesus Christ came unto his own specifically. But we know that his own received him not. But I thank God that God made a way. Oh, yes, that there would be a people that would receive him. And he knew that those that would receive him, they would become the sons of God. Oh, yes, they would give glory. They would honor him. They would walk with him. They would turn from their old ways, from their sins, and give their hearts over to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's what he saw on the cross. His people who would receive him. Oh yes, his people who would not deny him, who would confess him as Lord and Savior and surrender their hearts to him, acknowledging him for who he was and who he is, even right now, this very moment. Praise the Lord. Verse 45 here in Psalms 89 says, the days of his youth hast thou shortened, thou hast covered him with shame. Selah, that rejection. But I'll tell you what, here the psalm takes a little another turn right now. The psalmist who is writing it is Ethan, the Ezrahite, who wrote this psalm, and you know, here it's turning just a little bit. Because he's been talking about the sure mercies of David. He's been talking about that covenant, that seed that would endure forever and be established forever. And, you know, all those things that would follow. And I'll tell you what, those prophets of old, those people of old that feared the Lord, were looking for a Savior. They were looking for the Deliverer. They were looking for the Messiah. And they were believing that he would come forth. And it was a yearning in the soul. If we could just half imagine how it would feel. Here was a promise that had been established, and yet it had not been fulfilled. And there was such a yearning in their heart to see it. Oh yes, to know the one. Oh yes, to see the salvation of their soul. And they could see it, you know, by faith. They knew it would come. That's why Job could cry out, oh yes, in spite of great tribulation at the moment. But he cried out there in Job 19, saying, for I know that our Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. See, there was that faith in the heart. Oh yes, these prophets of old, they could see it by faith. They knew that that day would come. But yet, there were times when it obviously seemed like it was a long time off. And when, oh Lord, when will it happen? And here we see Ethan. Oh yes, who obviously had faith, but here he's crying out. It tells us here in verse 46 what he is saying, what he is crying. It says, how long, Lord? Wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? You know, they had seen judgment. They had seen, oh yes, God showing his wrath. And yet, oh, they knew that there was this time when the Redeemer would come. And he says here in verse 47, remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Oh yes, there was a longing in the soul. You know, he knew that his time on earth was short. You know, there was an end to it. And yet he had not seen that which he longed for. But praise the Lord. Oh, that faith that they had, to know that one day it would come forth. But yet you can see that great desire. And if we go to Luke, the 10th chapter, Jesus spoke of that desire that was within his people there in the times before he came to this world. Tells us in Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Then verse 23 here in Luke 10 says, and he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Oh, that longing in the heart. Oh, yes, many prophets and many kings. Oh, they had that desire. Oh, yes, to behold the one who would come forth to deliver them, to set them free, to save them from their sin. Oh, there was a desire in the hearts. Many prophets and many kings had the desire to see those things that those disciples had seen and had not been able, and to hear those things that Jesus Christ proclaimed and had not been able. They didn't live in that time period. They didn't have that privilege. It tells us also in 1 Peter, the first chapter of 1 Peter, it says in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied the grace that should come unto you. See, they were declaring it, and you see it throughout those many prophecies that those prophets of old declared. But, you know, there they were. They were inquiring. They were searching. And they spoke of it. But they had not seen it. They had not heard it. It says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. All those things that we have seen. Oh no, we haven't seen the Lord Jesus yet face to face. But oh my, we've tasted of the good things of God. We've been blessed in so many ways, and we're under that new covenant that He brought forth in His blood. But those of old, they searched, they inquired even diligently of that grace that should come. They searched what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. It says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Oh, praise the Lord, that new covenant that the Lord brought forth. Oh, that old covenant was broken. Yes, it was broken. It's brought out in Zechariah, that 11th chapter, that covenant, oh yes, was broken, and it was to be no more. I believe these verses in Psalms 89 also verify those points, that covenant ended. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ came to this earth to establish His heavenly kingdom, His spiritual kingdom. Oh yes, a kingdom that would not be visualized with an army coming in to take over. But no, He came to reign in the hearts of His people. Oh yes, He came. Oh yes, so He could send forth His Spirit into our hearts. Oh yes, so we could know the mind of the Lord. So we could walk in His footsteps. So we could be filled with His Spirit and walk in His ways. Oh yes, and oh yes, live with Him for all eternity. So praise the Lord. Oh yes, what a privilege it is that we live in this time period. And we have seen those things through faith. Oh yes, if the Holy Ghost has fallen upon us, we've tasted that the Lord is good. We have a taste of the good things of God, and we can know in our hearts, oh yes, that our God liveth, and that we can face tomorrow. Oh yes, and oh yes, that we have hope. Oh yes, beyond the hope of this world, a hope in the everlasting life, forever being with the Lord. So here, Ethan, the Israelite, was inquiring and talking, oh yes, and wondering, oh yes. And he says here in Psalms 89, he knew that his life had ended. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. And the question here in 49, see here, he's asking the question, Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? All these things that he's talking about in this 89th Psalm, all those promises, oh yes, that establishing of that kingdom, of that covenant that would endure forever, that seed that would know no end and not be cut off. Oh, praise the Lord. That's, oh yes, what he's thinking of here. Where is it, Lord? Where is that covenant, that seed that you promised, that you swearest unto David in thy truth? And he says in verse 50, remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people. Oh yes, that burden that was upon him. Wherewith thy enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thy anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. Oh, praise the Lord. That's how he closes this psalm. But praise the Lord, that day did come to pass. Oh, yes, that the Redeemer did come to this world to bring forth a new covenant. And that seed that would follow. And I'll tell you what, Isaiah speaks of him so often. If we could turn now to Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, I'd like to go there. Oh yes, I believe there's so much to glean from Isaiah 52, if we can see what the Lord will show us here. Here it says in verse 1, Isaiah 52, awake, awake. I want your attention here. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Oh, praise the Lord. There's a lot, even in this very first verse. Oh, here there's a call to put on thy strength. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength, as Nehemiah encouraged the people in his writings there, for one thing. But there is strength in the Lord and in his promises. And so he's admonishing here, oh yes, that need to awaken. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Oh, thou children of the highest. And then he says, put on thy beautiful garments. O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Okay, now he's talking about something. The holy city here that he's referring to, I wholly believe, is this, that one that's coming down from God out of heaven, that new heaven and that new earth that's referred to in Revelation 21. Let's go here to Revelation 21 for a moment here. Oh, praise the Lord. John, as he saw these things as they were revealed to him, tells us in Revelation 21, verse 9, And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Verse 10 says, And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of God, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And praise the Lord, it says in verse 12, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me. And I'm sorry, he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a chrysoprasus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Oh, what a city John saw, this city where the Lamb is the light, this wonderful place that he saw come down from God out of heaven. And yes, the city is a holy Jerusalem, that great city that comes out of God, the wonderful glory of it. It says in verse 22, And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Praise the Lord, no need for an edifice there. Because, yes, our God will be there, and we worship Him. Amen. He is the temple. Yes, praise the Lord. It tells us, And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Oh, praise the Lord. No need for the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The Lord Jesus is the light thereof. The glory of God does lighten it. It says, And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Oh, yes, those gates don't have to be shut to keep the evil out. And there's going to be no night there. Oh, no, not at all. It says that they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But just one moment here, is just briefly pause. It says, referring, and I'm coming right back to Revelation here, But here in Isaiah 52, that first verse, this Jerusalem, the holy city, it says, from henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Oh, there's going to be nothing to defile in this wonderful, glorious place that the Lord has prepared for them that love Him. Oh, and if we look at that last verse in chapter 21 of Revelation, it tells us in verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So you see, there's nothing that's uncircumcised or unclean. And praise the Lord, under this new covenant, oh, we are circumcised by the faith of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Oh, by our repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. So that, oh, yes, we are no longer unclean, but instead, yes, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. So, yes, that admonishment here in this first verse of Isaiah 52 to put on the beautiful garments. And what are those beautiful garments that the Lord gives us? Oh, I'll tell you what, it tells us the 19th chapter of Revelation. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Oh, there's preparations that need to be made if we're going to go to the city where the Lamb is alight. Oh, yes, there's things that must be done. But here it tells us in verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Oh, praise the Lord, the redeemed of the Lord, who have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, whose sins have been forgiven. Praise the Lord. They are given that fine linen, clean and white, that spotless garment that He gives us. Oh, that represents the righteousness of our God. Oh, that righteousness that we could never merit on our own, for our own righteousnesses are but filthy rags. But praise the Lord, He gives us His righteousness so that we can stand before Him. Oh, yes, we can stand before Him and be clean. Oh, yes, oh, having been cleansed from our impurities, all our sins, all our transgressions, all those things of the past being put behind us. Praise the Lord. So here, yes, Isaiah, as he's writing under the anointing, oh, that need to awaken, to put on thy strength, O Zion, O Church of the Living God, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. And then it says in verse 2, shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Oh, praise the Lord, the need to shake thyself from the dust, that time of mourning. Oh, we can leave it off because the Lord has brought forth His plan. He has redeemed His children. Oh, just as they cried in days of old longing for that period, this moment would come when, oh yes, it would be so. And to shake off ourselves from the dust. We don't have to sit, oh, there mourning and bemoaning and looking towards this time. It says, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, all the bondages of sin that captivates us, oh, that seeks to destroy us, oh, yes, that spiritual bondage that, oh, yes, we all lived in at one point. And Jesus said, oh yes, in the 8th chapter of the book of John, He said in verse 34 in that chapter, verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Oh, yes, if we've ever sinned, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is none righteous, no, not one. But I tell you what, sin is bondage. And whosoever committeth sin, Jesus Christ said, is a servant of sin. Oh, the Jewish people didn't really get that, did they? Oh, they thought because they were Abraham's seed that they were free. You know, they didn't get it. Oh, they got all upset when Jesus began to tell them, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. You know, we were Abraham's seed, they said, and we were never in bondage to any man. But Jesus explained, oh, I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Oh, that little important point that so many people do not understand. But praise the Lord, Jesus went on to say in that 8th chapter, verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. And verse 36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And praise the Lord, that's why Jesus came. So often the point of Jesus' first coming isn't understood. He came to save us from our sins. Praise the Lord, that's why He came, because He knew. Oh, yes, that we were in bondage. We were captives to sin. But praise the Lord, He came so that we might be redeemed and have freedom from that dreadful bondage that condemned us, that was sending us to hell. Oh, praise the Lord for what He did. So, yes, shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck. Oh, those things, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord. Hear Isaiah 52 again, verse 3. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. Oh, yes. Oh, the folly of sin. Oh, the bondage of things, the enslavement that they put upon themselves because they didn't listen. They disobeyed. They rebelled. They turned away from the living God. They brought bondage upon themselves. They had sold themselves for nothing, for naught. But praise the Lord, God in His mercy, God in His plan was going to redeem them without money. He was going to bring forth, oh yes, salvation, so full and free. Oh yes, that we could come to the living God and be delivered of our sins, of our trespasses, our old ways of living, that old things of life that wanted to linger on and cause us condemnation. Praise the Lord, it is a promise here. Ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there. And the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. You know, talking about without provocation, they were oppressed. And there's oppression with sin. But it says, now therefore, in verse 5, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Oh, the oppression of the heathen, the oppression of the enemy. And oh, is it like that today? Oh, I know there's oppressive spirits out there. Sometimes you can hardly stand as you walk into a place, and the filthy mouths and the filthy actions and things that you catch a glimpse of sometimes, or you know, just happen, you know, to get it, you be in the wrong place, I guess you could say, at the wrong time, and all of that. But oh, how hard it is, yes, to hear the name of the Lord blasphemed. Oh, yes, and people spitting on it and cursing it. And, oh, just, you know, using it in vain. All those things that the enemies of the Lord do. But here, yes, it talks about that name continually every day being blasphemed. But then, oh yes, the promises of the Lord come forth here. Oh yes, it says in verse 6, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that speak. Bold, behold, it is I. Oh, praise the Lord, those wonderful promises of God. Oh, there's a day that was coming forth, a day when the Redeemer would come. And in that day, oh, they would know the Lord. They would know his name. It would be revealed to him. Oh, yes, Jesus, he told his disciples, blessed are your eyes. Oh, because they can see. You know, we talked about those prophets and those kings that had desired to see that day and had not seen it. Oh, and to hear those things that they heard but had not heard them. But praise the Lord, that day that came forth. Oh, yes, that the people of the Lord, he says, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he. Oh, yes, that God, oh yes, that spoke, oh yes, there to Moses and told him, I am who I am. You know, I am. And Jesus came as I am to speak, to declare, to do the works that had been promised. Behold, it is I. Oh, thank the Lord. He tells us in verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings. That publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Oh, the good tidings of, oh, great joy. You know, oh, that angel, or angels, actually, it all came out to the shepherds that were on the field watching their sheep by night, that night that Jesus Christ was born. There in the second chapter of the book of Luke, just looking at that for a moment, tells us in Luke, the second chapter, verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Praise the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh yes, these were the tidings of great joy. This was a thing that they could rejoice for. Oh yes, this was what had been proclaimed there in the days of old. Oh, the sure mercies of David. Oh yes, that everlasting covenant, that seed, that everlasting seed that would come forth. Here it was. Those tidings of great joy, of great news, of great joy that was brought forth first to those shepherds that were in the field. Oh yes, keeping watch over their flock by night. Oh, what a night that must have been. What an event as an angel of the Lord came to bring them those wonderful tidings. Oh, those good tidings of great joy. Oh, there is no joy. Oh, she can be compared to the great news that our Savior has come to this world. Oh, yes, to reach down, to save us, to deliver us. And yes, that joy wasn't just for one or two folks, but it says, which shall be to all people. Praise the Lord, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the one that had been promised, the seed of David. Here he was, he came forth, and that announcement was made. And it says in verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful event had come to pass, that which they had longed for all those many years, all those things that the prophets, the kings that had faith and feared the Lord were looking so forward to. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Oh, praise the Lord. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Oh, I'll tell you what, these are the glad tidings. This is the great news, all of that, and the great message that they had longed for. And yes, as it declares here in Isaiah 52, verse 7, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth." Oh, praise the Lord. Romans the 10th chapter speaks of that too, those verses that were declared. And you know, in Nahum, the very first chapter, that also is brought forth in the 15th verse. Here in Nahum chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast. Perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off." Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ was coming to deliver, to sever the weight of sins, to redeem them. So, yes, the enemy would be cut off. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there would be, oh, yes, a difference after that point. Ah, yes, when this was fulfilled and when it came to pass. Oh, yes, they could keep their solemn vows in those feasts. Oh, yes, because, yes, indeed, as the Lord had declared, those good tidings of great joy. Oh, that message of peace would be proclaimed. It tells us here in Isaiah 52, verse 8, "Oh, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion." Oh, yes, the Lord bringing forth a people, a diverse people. Oh, yes, from every tribe and nation and kindred and tongue. Oh, bringing forth a people that would sing forth his praises. And oh, yes, the watchmen, those that were waiting. Oh, time to lift up the voice. Time to declare the glad tidings. Oh, time to sing. Time to rejoice. The watchmen shall lift up the voice. With a voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring against Zion. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord bringing his people together, putting his church together, bringing all those that would call upon him and seek him and turn to him and obey the gospel. Seeing eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Oh, there are no divisions in the body of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. It's not right. If there are, then you know something is wrong. But here, yes, they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Verse 9 declares, "Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem." Oh, praise the Lord, that comfort that he gives us. Oh, and even sending forth the Comforter. Oh, yes, that would come to our very being. Oh, yes, you know, Jesus knew that he could not continue on this earth, but yet he wasn't going to leave us comfortless, was he? Oh no, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. There in John the 14th chapter, he said, I will come unto you. Oh yes, you know, he had a plan, you know, it was going to be fulfilled, that which had been ordained from the foundation of the world. Oh yes, that Spirit of truth that would come forth, that the world would not receive, because it can't perceive spiritual things. The world doesn't know. It doesn't understand. But to his children, oh, he said to his children, oh yes, for he dwelleth with you, it shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, praise the Lord. We sang that song tonight, didn't we? Oh, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Oh, because he lives, you know? Oh, that sadness, that sorrow, oh, that mourning is gone. We can face this world because he did not leave us comfortless. He gives us hope. Yes, because he is a resurrected Lord. Because he lives, we can live also. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, what a beautiful thing it is here in Isaiah 52. Break forth into joy. Sing together. Oh, that song of praise that he put in our hearts, because he brought us out of the miry clay. Oh, yes, he took us out of that place where we were. And you know, he put a song in our heart, a song of praise unto our God. The psalmist wrote, many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. There in Psalms chapter 40. But praise the Lord, here we are. We're able to break forth into joy. We're to sing together. You waste places of Jerusalem, all that which was barren, that which was trodden down, that which was forsaken. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord has come. He has come unto his people. And how he takes our lives, oh, as they are, you know, oh, well, how he takes us, forgives us our trespasses, and begins that work, that transformation that he all begins in our lives, so that we can be made unto the image of his dear Son. Oh, praise the Lord, that transforming power that he puts within us, that gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, so we don't have to be like we always were up in our natural self. Oh, those old thoughts, those old images, those old desires, all those things that were a part of our nature when we were without God and without hope in this world. But praise the Lord, we have a reason to sing. Oh yes, the joy of the Lord being our strength. The joy of the Lord being our hope. Oh, praise the Lord, because the Lord has come. The Lord has set us free. The Lord has put something in our heart. A praise unto our God. It tells us here in Isaiah 52, verse 10, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Oh, praise the Lord, the gospel was not just for one group of people, one race, or one nationality. You know, it says here, all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. I love it how Peter on the day of Pentecost, oh yes, when they were pricked in their hearts, and oh, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter declared unto them the gospel. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord. That includes you and I. Praise the Lord. We could be the redeemed. They can sing this song of praise unto our God because, oh yes, we've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 11 here, Isaiah 52, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Oh yes, we come to Him that knowledge of sin is made unto us so that we can turn away from the follies of sin and touch no unclean. Oh, so we can be purified. Oh yes, so we can identify with the Lord in the waters of baptism. He made bare His holy arm. So, oh yes, we could come unto Him. We could be clean. Oh yes, ye that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the Lord of Israel will be your reward. And this is beautiful. Oh yes, the Lord going before us. Oh, and yes, not just that. Oh, not just leading us as the good shepherd, you know, showing the way, but also it says the Lord, the God of Israel, will be your re-reward. In other words, the re-reward, they are the fellow in the military that would back up the main body or the force. They would go behind. Oh yes, as a safety measure to protect and to keep, you know. And praise the Lord, we're covered. You know, we're led by the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ being our good shepherd. He leading us. He's showing us. He's drawing us. You know, but not only leading us, we're backed up. We're backed up. The angels of the Lord are with us to back us up and to be with us. And praise the Lord. Oh, the hands that we're in. We don't have to just run, you know, with fear and in haste. But know that the Lord will go before you, and the Lord, God of Israel, will be your reward. Hear this prophetic utterance here in verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. But praise the Lord, what was he doing here? Oh yes, taking that curse for us that we read of there in Galatians. Oh, taking that curse. How we were hindered by that awful curse. But he was bringing forth his new covenant. It tells us in verse 15, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. I'm talking about the good news of the gospel, that which Jesus Christ has done, that he made a way. He sprinkled many nations. Do you know what that means? He sprinkled us with his blood. You know, it was so necessary. That blood had to be sprinkled on all the articles. They're under the old covenant. You know, that was a shadow of things to come. But, oh, everything was sprinkled. You know, the priest had to have blood upon them. You know, the horns of the altar, all the articles there in the tabernacle had to have blood sprinkled upon them. But Jesus Christ came just, oh yes, to bring forth his blood so that we would be saved by that blood that he shed for us. It tells us in Hebrews the 9th chapter, verse 11, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Praise the Lord, that's what he was doing on the cross. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. And yes, that worked in part there for, you know, that time period, for the moment there. But it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive a promise of eternal inheritance. Praise the Lord. That's what our Lord was doing for us. Oh, that blood that he was bringing forth. Oh, yes, and you know, he spoke of it there at that Last Supper. Yes, you know, that cup which he shared there at the Passover was, you know, representative of that blood that he would shed for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord. That bread that they partook of represented the flesh that he would shed for his people. Oh, yes, that he might bring forth a people. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how we can rejoice, how we can sing his praises. Oh, God knows. Oh, yes, the glad tidings that he, oh yes, enabled to be brought forth, those good tidings of good, that published salvation, that those that say unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Oh, praise the Lord, we have reason to rejoice. We have reason to praise our God, for our God may bear his holy arm. Oh, our God, putting on flesh to come to this world to seek and to save those that were lost, to bring salvation to his people. And praise the Lord, all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Oh, yes, the one that shed his blood. Oh, yes, that blood would atone for our sins. And we, oh yes, could be bearers of the glad tidings. Oh yes, the great message of peace that, oh yes, has been brought forth because Jesus has come. Oh yes, the Comforter has come. Oh yes, we live in this time period where we know the joyful sound, that sound of salvation. Oh, the sound of the redeemed that he has brought forth. Praise the Lord by his mercy and his grace. Oh, praise the Lord, as Ethan, as Lehi said, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord brought it forth, that covenant that he had promised. Oh, praise the Lord, that seed that shall endure forever, that covenant that will not be broken. Praise our God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank our God. Praise our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this salvation so rich and free. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Oh, thank you, God. We can rejoice in you, Jesus. Oh, God, we can sing your praises. We can know the joyful sound, oh, Lord, because you have redeemed us. You've set us free, Lord. We're not in bondage. Oh, Lord, we're not in captivity, Lord. And we thank you. We praise you, Lord. You've redeemed us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God's great faithfulness and mercy unto us. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. So praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. We are going to open our hymnals in closing to number 198, Jesus Saves. 198 in the hymnal. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward, 'tis the Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Lifted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Delta sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing the islands of the sea, echo back the ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing and triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Winds of mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves, this a song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.